And we were doing this beautiful piece of music. It was actually a sacred music piece that written by Haydn called The Creation. And it was really, really great, you know, to be a part of that. But one time we were invited to a place that was a church. It was actually a church in Meissen, Germany. It's a famous place where they make pottery that's really beautifully painted. It's really exquisite. But anyway, there's a cathedral there, and it was freezing. It was a really cold day. And the orchestra went there, and we were singing, you know, the singers were there. And we could literally see our breath in the church, right? And we were all secretly thinking, I hope they call this off because it's too cold in here, you know, to be able to do this. And then we learned there was actually a law in, you know, for the instrumentalists, not the singers. They don't care about the singers, but they cared about the orchestra people. And if it reached a certain level, like a temperature, then they had to call it off. And so there was all this talk going on, and they were going back and forth, should we play or should we not play? And finally, the decision was made, it's not cold enough, we got to go through it. And so that was the coldest experience I ever had of singing in my entire life. So I just want to encourage you. I know it's cold inside, but at least you can't see your breath. You don't have to play a trumpet. It's funny how things are with this, with how people see the cold. But the warmth of the Lord is here, and we have a wonderful scripture and message from God today for us that we just heard read by Alfred. As we look at Ephesians, there's many different verses that talk about the things that we are taught today in this chapter. But we have a theme that is keep your lamps burning. And that also is one of the reasons I believe God wants us to look at this scripture today. So if you keep the book of Ephesians open to chapter 5, we'll be going through these things. Before I go any further, I forgot to tell the children that Ken Miedema is blind. You can find videos of him singing online. I would love to have him come to our church and do a concert sometime. Maybe we could pray about that happening. But he's a real blessing. I remember I didn't know him personally, but a friend of mine who is a really great organist, pianist, he and I were walking down the street in Montclair one time, and Ken Miedema walked by. And he's just walking by like he was anybody. You know, he had no trouble at all walking around without any help and assistance. He was an amazing, he still is an amazing person. And he heard my friend David talking to me, and he said, hi, David, can't see. You know, he's blind, but he knew David was there, and they were talking to each other back and forth. But a really amazing Christian brother who has written many, many different songs, and very poignant, just like the one I read before about praying, calling our country to pray, actually. But he wrote another song that I came across when I was listening to his songs, even this morning. And I want to read a couple of words from that song. It's called Through the Eyes of Love. And he said, I see America through the eyes of love, and long for all her people to be free. And if you see, put your hand to the job. There's work that must be done till freedom's song is sung from sea to sea. And that really strikes me in a way because people who are blind can see things, right? And many times they can see things better than we do. Who can see, right? You agree? They have a sensitivity to things that we don't have a sensitivity to because of their blindness. But, you know, the Bible talks about that we are spiritually blind in our lives and we're in darkness and we need to come into God's light and we can see. Things become visible and then we are able to see what is good and what is not to be, you know, what we don't want to be a part of in our lives. But I think that this line comes from his faith in Christ. Through the eyes of love. So let that be a blessing to you today from Ken Miedema's song, Let's look at America through the eyes of love and let God's love through us help to make a difference in a way that darkness cannot ever have that effect. And so that is bringing us then into the message today. It begins, actually, chapter 5 begins like this: therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Do you remember I was teaching the children that verse? Walk, be imitators of God. We want to imitate things that are good. We want to imitate God, who gives us an example of how we're to live in our lives, right? And then we're on safe ground in that kind of a way. But then he says this, and he says after that, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And this is all leading up to the scripture today. So he's reminding us to walk in love, and that is where, you know, we want to imitate God. He sent his son, and we want to imitate Christ, that he gave himself. We give ourselves, right? Oftentimes at a cost. That was in the song that we sang today, a cost. I'll never know the cost it was that Jesus had to pay for my life and understand that, but I'm here to worship him. But he gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Isn't that beautiful? In the midst of all the darkness, we're lifted out of that by all of this beautiful, beautiful scripture that God gives to us, these words by a man who was sent by God to be a missionary to all of us through the Bible. But then he says this, okay? Walk in love, imitate God, Christ gave himself for us. But then he says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Interesting that he chooses that attitude, right? An attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving is chosen over sexual immorality, covetousness, envy for other things, a desire for wealth, wanting what other people have. You know, these are some, the filthiness, crude joking, foolish talk. You know, these are things that are part of the darkness. We spend time in those kind of things, and those don't fit in, right? What did he say? He said, it's not, they're not to be named among you as is proper, right? But there was one other thing he wrote here. Let me feel through which are, oh, they're out of place. They're out of place with a walk in Christ, right? That doesn't fit in with the walk that you're in. And that should resonate with each one of us, right? We all struggle with sin. We struggle with things. We live in a world where there is fighting and people dying, children dying, all kinds of different abuse going on, these things that just are disturbing and things like that. And then we say, it's time to watch the Super Bowl. Right? So that is the reality of the world that we live in. Right? And there's nothing wrong with watching the Super Bowl. I'm just making the point. We live in this kind of a thing. But you have to ask yourself, does that fit in? Right? To seeing what is going on in the world, and yet we're just going to go on with our lives as though it weren't happening, right? And we can't solve everything, right? And God tells us we need to pray, right? So we certainly need to pray about these things. And he also wants us to enjoy life, okay? So it doesn't mean you just, pastor is saying I shouldn't watch the Super Bowl. I didn't say that. I'm just saying there is this dichotomy here in our world that we have to recognize, and it's coming across here. But this one we want to pay attention to. Sexual immorality, which is abounding in our society since the beginning, right? Of these kind of things, the sinfulness of mankind and the crude jokes, dirty jokes. Everybody likes to hear a dirty joke and feel popular, right? Oh, ha ha, that's a really funny joke, right? But God is saying those kind of things don't fit in. They're out of place with a child who is walking in love. Instead, gratitude, thankfulness, things that are going to result in that kind of a response are the kind of things that we want to spend our time with. So we want to look at our lives in that kind of a way and examine them and see where we are. You know, how are we living? What needs the light of God? How can I, you know, what needs less in my, you know, maybe I can make some adjustments now that I've been brought into the light of God, and I see that, and God is saying that to me, right? I've had people in my life who have told me that I was doing something wrong, and at the time I didn't like hearing it, but it was helpful for me, and later on I was very thankful for it. So there is a means for us, I mean an opportunity for us in life, a responsibility to one another to help each other to go the right direction. I don't know if you've ever seen The Lion King. It's great musical, you know, great story and fun. But there's this scene where, I forget the little boy's name. Does anybody know the name of the little boy? Simba, yeah. So Simba is with his friend, and they are actually being lured into a dark place by this evil lion and to a place where all the hyenas are. And they don't know about that part of it, but they're like saying, oh, wow, that's going to be fun. Let's go there. Let's go there. And they're talking about it, and they don't realize it, but all of the mother lions are standing nearby, and all of a sudden everything stops. And they all look at Simba and his friend at the same time, and they said, you're going where? And suddenly this great plan was exposed. Right? By the light. Just like we're talking about here. And they all looked in unity because of what? They were concerned for the welfare of Simba and his friend. That is an example of what we need to be in the world. We need to be those people who say, you're going where? You're going to do what? Right? I mean, those are alerts to us. And that in young people, especially, is just like a shock. That, oh, I have to have permission? Nothing's gonna happen to me. Right? So this is the kind of thing. And then you can extend that into your adult life too, because it goes on like that too. But it's always good to have those lion mothers who say, you're going where? In our minds. That's going to stay with me. There's a popular talk host on TV who was famous for talking about her relationship with her daughter. And she said, my daughter is not my friend. She's my daughter, and I need to teach her what is right and wrong. And people have, you know, I mean, I don't think that she's trying to say she doesn't want to be friends with her daughter, but what she was trying to say is that I need to act like a mother. I need to look out for the welfare of my daughter. And so God is saying that the same kind of a way, and if we remember that God is always with us and he's our father, then we can always be grateful when we have reminders like this one today to tell us what we need to do so that we will be in the light and that our lives will be safe and that we will be secure in knowing that we are pleasing God, right? So there's that whole area there of this of scripture that comes before our text today that that is worth reading. Okay, so it goes on. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or is covetous, that is an idolater, someone who worships idols, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Right, so that is something we don't want to read over too quickly. This is very, very important words, you know, it's saying you're not going to be inheriting the kingdom of God when you are involved with those things. So you need to pay attention. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Come on, join us. Just come on. Nothing will happen to you. It's fun. You're going where? You're going to do what? Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God is a reality in life, and we need to understand that. God is not this person who's like saying you're not allowed to have fun. He's guiding you into the right kind of fun, the kind that is going to be fitting in place, in the right place with what he has planned for you as a person of an image of Christ, an image of God. You've been born into this, and this is what you want. Right? So it's a dignity, right? It's a dignity that God is giving to us, and a promotion that God is giving to each one of us in life to say, I am promoting you from this life of darkness, and I'm bringing you into the light, and you are truly blessed. And when you see how blessed you are, it will make your heart rejoice, and you will be grateful and giving thanksgiving for those. Those are the things that we want to seek in life, right? Don't become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That's where we started. For at that time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. There's a lot of different testimonies of people who say, you should have known me then, right? Right? There's this change that occurs in people when they come into Christ, and they have this effect. And in preparation for this sermon today, I have read many different examples of people who said, I was lost completely in my life. I was looking out for my needs alone, and I did things my own way. I didn't like to listen to anybody. In fact, I just, plowed into darkness and all kinds of things that are listed here. But then Christ gripped my heart. So what would I say? I've been thinking about all the different things I read. What would I offer as the teaching of what a person should do when they see that light, when they're confronted, when someone says, you're going where and you're doing what? That isn't right. Right? It's not good for you. It's against what God wants for us. It's sin. Or it could be, something dangerous like that. I would say that you stop and you repent. And those are the words of Jesus when he came into his ministry in this time of looking at in the Bible. You repent. You stop. You turn away from those things. You confess your sin, that you've sinned and you're falling short of the glory of God. Say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, right? And then you follow him. You give him your life, right? You continue to believe in him. And what else? You start to separate yourself from the things that you did before, right? The dangerous thing is to say, and this is what Paul is saying to the people here, is you're living two lives. You're saying that you're in the light and you are sorry for what you're doing. You confessed your sins. You said, I follow Christ. Some people will even be baptized, but I don't see it in your life. You're still doing the things of the darkness. You're still engaging in the things like there, and that you can't have it that way. And so the problem for that, especially, and I'm talking from my own experience, is the things that you did before still have an appeal to you. They have that hold on you, right? And you fall and you get into sin. But the good news is that as long as sin has been in the world, God's grace has been here longer. And so we are forgiven when we sin and we fall short of the glory of God. We are forgiven. We experience the grace of God with the understanding that we are to dedicate ourselves to a life of light, and walking in the light as children of the light to separate ourselves from that those things more and more, and there's another purpose in it. Okay, we're going to get to that in a moment. Therefore, don't become partners with them. You have to make a stand, right, and say, I'm different now, guys. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You were darkness, he says, so we were not just in the dark, we were darkness, but now you are light. Right? And that light is found in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Live as children of light. Right? Receive these things. We're exercising memorization of Scripture now. There's a purpose in that. I have experienced already. Already I have experienced in looking at that Scripture and getting many times mixed up and getting it wrong. I have now witnessed God's Spirit working in me to the point where that Scripture has taken a deeper meaning. And it has become what I believe, right? Not just what I read about, but it has become what I believe, and God's Spirit is making that work in us. And that's why I feel it's so important for us to do that. It doesn't matter whether you do it all at the same time or how fast you learn or if you learn all of it. It is an exercise in light that God is giving to us. And the power of Him living in us and His Word so deeply embedded in us that those temptations that were so quickly dragging us away into the darkness again are going to vanish. Because you are living that light, right? You are that light that God has brought into you through His Son, Jesus. So walk as children of light. And then it says this, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And so here we are engaging with Scripture that should be very well known to us, the fruit of light, fruit, to bear fruit, right? When I tell you almost every time now about our ESL class, you know, English as a second language, and we have a verse that we looked at the verse, I am the vine, you are the branches, right? You can bear no fruit without me, without being in the vine, right? And so it's the same kind of thing. We want to stay in Christ, Jesus, the vine, attached to Him, because without Him we can bear no fruit. And if we're in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, but we have fellowship with Christ, and that's more important than anything, right? But we need to be in that light. We need to be in the vine to bear fruit, and so that is what God wants for us to do. And that is what is not going to happen when you have it both ways. Okay? Because this, as soon as you say, okay, Jesus, I love you, I want to be yours, I love you, thank you for forgiving you of my sins, but I want to go and I want to look at that pornography, or I want to do something evil like that, you've detached from the vine. Right? You're here in the vine, and then you go after something that is of that darkness, and you go over here, and Jesus is there, and you're broken off, and you don't have that connection any longer. That's a dangerous place to be, right? Why? You're not going to bear fruit. You're not going to bear fruit, right? You're not going to be able to do those things. Your life is not going to. God says you cannot serve two masters, right? But we find ourselves in this position, guys, and this is what we need to talk to about as Christians, so that we can be in the light and stay in the light as He is in the light. And bear fruit. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, right? Another great verse to memorize and to bring in there, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yes! Right? Doesn't it feel good when you don't forget it? And it's hard standing in front of people and saying these things. But it's not the point, right? It is the things themselves that are so great about that. I was in darkness, but now it's about love and joy and peace, right? All these different fruit that are coming out from me because of why? Because of me? No. Because Jesus is the vine and I'm getting all this from him. And he's coming into me and I'm bringing that out into the world. And that is like, I can see America with through the eyes of love, through the eyes of Jesus. I can see all these things and I really wish that we could have happening, and Jesus is going to make that happen. Seeing things through the eyes of love. Seeing people through the eyes of love. It's amazing. A blind person saying, I'm going to see things through the eyes of love. Right? The fruit, and so what is the fruit of light? Everything that's found is good, that is good and right and true. Good and right and true. These are the things that we want to be a part of. There's another verse that we had in Micah today, right? Somebody read that? Can somebody read the first 6-8 in your bulletin? It's right there. The call to worship. Go ahead. Somebody. Do justice, kindness, right? Love kindness, walk humbly. Three more ways to please God. Right? Three more ways to please God, to live our lives in that. Do justice, not just seek it, not just like, you know, talk about it, but do it. Right? See people who are freezing cold outside, you want to bring them inside. You see people that are without something to eat, you give them something to eat. You see people that are without clothing, you give them something to wear. Right? These are very practical things that we could do to do justice. Right? If I have something and someone doesn't have something, and I can give them what I have. It's all through the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus teaches and all those words to his people. These are life-giving things that people in our world need to hear about. Instead of all the hopelessness and the things that people are doing and they're finding there's just nothing going on, how often do we hear God is there for us and he can help us to get through this together, but we need to be going to him, right? Those are the things, and we do it. We do the justice. We get out there and show people that we want to make a difference that way, right? So it's found in all that is good and right and true, and that describes God, doesn't it? He's good, he's righteous, he's true, right? If I tell a lie to someone, you know, I am breaking down the trust that I have with that person. Right? And it's the same thing with God. If we lie to somebody or we lie to him about what we're doing, we're saying, I love you and I commit myself to you. I want to follow you. I gave my life to you. I'm baptized. And then you fall into the same things. It's a lie. I hate to say that, but it's a lie. It's not the truth. But it's not a condemnation lie. It's one that we need to confess to God and then ask him for the strength to amend it. Right? To bring me back into the walk of light and stay in that light. Of course we're going to wander off the path. But God gently and lovingly draws us back here. That's why he's written this. Right? So we don't want to lie in that kind of a way. We want to use our lies for his glory. And then we come to this verse, okay, 10. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. These are all the things that he's telling us in to do. Instead of walking in darkness and committing all these sins, we want to focus on these, doing good, doing what is right and true. and then discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So there's many different things that we can learn in this regard. I want to share some advice from this guy, Wayne Berber. He said, "Every day in my life, I say, God, the light is in me. Show me now if I make this choice, if I make that choice, if I say this word, if I say that word, what is it that pleases you? Show me now. Your light is in me. Show me now if I make this choice, if I make that choice, if I say this word, if I say that word, what is it that pleases you? Which one are you going to choose?" I like that advice, right? Start your day, incorporate these things into your prayer, and ask God for discernment. Which one is it going to be that is going to be most pleasing to you? Now, if you're like me, you're going to feel like, wow, I don't think I could do that. At least not all the time. It's very hard to do that because I want to do that thing that pleases me, right? I want to go there. I really want to do this because it feels good for a moment, you know? But God, show me what pleases you. Goes on to say, "I have to learn to accommodate his presence in my life. I have to learn what it is that pleases him. So daily I am living a life seeking out those things that bring pleasure to my Lord. And that is the way we are supposed to walk." How do you walk in the light? Seeking those things that bring pleasure to my Lord. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful relationship that we have in that kind of a way. And I can tell you today from my experience that God's way is much better. Much better. And building up relationships and trust, building trust between yourself and your family members and your friends and all the different people that you know is much better than the darkness. Because it's a loneliness. There's a loneliness there you'll never have because you'll be apart from God and you'll be apart from other people that you love. The good news is that God loves us and he brings us into the light, right? He brings us into the light. So can we play that song? I have a little song. We're not going to be done yet. I have a little more to talk about, but I want you guys to sing this song. I think it's a really beautiful song from Maranatha, and it talks about pleasing the Lord.
Thank you.
Music like this, and I loved hymns, and I sang a lot of, I ate it all up. I loved singing Maranatha songs, and I loved singing, you know, It Only Takes a Spark to Get a Fire Going, you know, I mean, I really loved all those things, and I was really yearning for Christ in my life. I went through a time then where I was in darkness. There was a darker side to the way I began to think. I listened to music that was actually causing my mother great concern, and she was right. But at the time, I just laughed about it and said, you don't have to worry about me because, you know, it's just music and things like that. But I realized that at that point, I was really coming under attack, and the evil one was leading me in the direction of music that would have just basically laughed at something like this one. It's so sappy sounding and so, you know, like, I forget what cheesy, right? The kids call it cheesy or something like that. But my heart was changed from something like that because I was worried about what other people were going to think of me liking something like that. But I was so relieved, you know, when I came back and God brought me back into the fold and drew me into listening to music like this one and seeing the great effect that it has on society. Right, to see the effect that it has on people's hearts, to draw them into a beautiful melody, to draw them into words that are of life, right? Not of death, but one that is centered around pleasing God with our lives. And then you have the impetus and the direction that you need of what you want to spend your life doing. I saw a movie, it was actually a beginning of a movie. I turned it off after a while because it got a little bit different than it started, but there was this girl who met a guy, and he was very popular, he was very good looking, and he had all the girls he wanted, and he had a reputation like that, and this girl was like, you know, just an average kind of person, and she didn't belong in his kind of a clique, and but one day at their graduation in college, he looked at her and kept looking at her, and so she was very flattered that he would look at her, you know, and so she was thinking to herself, wow, this guy is so popular, and he's got this reputation, all the girls love him and all that, and so she didn't know what to do, but anyway, he came to her later on that evening, and he said, you want to, you know, go somewhere and talk, and so eventually he walked her home. Right? And then he lingered outside, and she was like, this is me. This is where I live, you know. And then they went inside. And actually, he was looking for one thing. And it came to that point where they came together, and she stopped him, and she said, I want to ask you a question. Before we go any further, I want to ask you a question. What are you going to do with your life? And it just stopped him in his tracks. He was used to girls just, you know, doing whatever he wanted to do. And this girl said, I want to know what, and then he said, what do you mean? And she said, well, where are you going to be when you're 40? What are you going to be doing? And he really didn't know what to say, and he made something up. You know, he was like, I don't know. I don't even really know what you're talking about. And she said, well, I want to make a difference in the world. You know, and I was really happy watching this film because I didn't know where it was going to go. But that really struck me, you know, stopping a person and saying, I'm not just one of these people that you're used to sleeping with. I want to know who you are and what your aim is in life. And I have a life, and I'm going to go somewhere. You know, and it turned out that they weren't together anymore. But the point is that she was like the Lion King, the mother lions saying, where are you going and what are you going to do there? Right? And we need voices like that. And it's the same thing that came up there in that way. But I also in my life needed someone to come to me when I was in that darkness and going into the other kind of music and taking away my heart from the Lord, really. It took people from the church saying to me, you need to get back to Christ. You need to move away from those things that are drawing you into these other areas. And the way that they told me was this: God loves you. And I want to pray with you. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sit here and pray with this person. I don't. And they insisted upon it because they love me. And because God sent them to me as light, to be the light of Christ and to help me to be saved. Even though I was saved, but to truly be saved from the danger of darkness. And so it goes on for just the last part here. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it's shameful even to think of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. So my take on that is that the light is to bring things into light so that you can see truly the difference of the darkness and the light and choose light, right? Not just see the difference and then go in the direction of darkness, but to choose the things that are good and right and true. Amen? To say, yes, I'm going to choose that because that is going to be pleasing to my Lord. I am the Lord's child. I am his child of light now. And I have nothing to do with darkness anymore. And when you stand up for God that way, your life is truly going to be blessed in ways that you cannot imagine. And you may just surprise yourself in seeing that those people you're so afraid of being making fun of you or trying to get you to do what they're doing, they just might want what you do. And I've seen that happen too. I know people who told me that their friend was one of the ones that they hung around with and they drank and they slept around with girls and things like that. But one day there was a difference in that friend and they said, what is wrong with you? And he said, I have become a Christian. And now I'm not the same. And that person, that friend's changed this other person's heart, and he saw that he needed to come into the light and gave his life to Christ, and now he's a missionary. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Are you sleeping in your faith today? Are you in a place where you're spending time doing things that are worthless, that are really of the darkness? God is calling you with this verse. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And he will do that. He will shine and shine and shine his light on you. And he'll use you for his glory. And you will make a difference in this world. Of not just the humankind, but of the kingdom of God kind. Amen.